What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC is 7-5 again. Oh, no.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Random Trail Radio, episode 525, coming to you on Monday, December 11th. We're going to talk about the new additions to USC's defense, including the hiring of North Dakota State Bison head coach Matt Entz as the Trojans' new linebackers coach, including a big get on the transfer portal side of things on the defensive side, and other transfer portal news we're going to talk about, and so much more. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, Random Troy, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RandomTroy, email address, randomtroy@fanside.com, and our phone number, 818-643-7227. Second What's Brewing Show. I'm your host, Michael Castillo, joining along with my co-host here in the Random Troy studio in Los Angeles.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Do you remember our old phone number, by the way? Because for the longest time, like that little intro, like I was scared that I was accidentally going to say the wrong phone number. And I was thinking about it now. I don't have to look at the rundown anymore. The new phone number just rings.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I probably shouldn't say the old one because
I was going to say it, and then I was like, well, I don't want to confuse
I don't want to confuse people, but I also don't want to confuse myself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good number. Rip.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm chuffed that I was able to, you know, have that memory going.
I'm chuffed for Tim in LA.
Yeah.
Coming in with the super chat.
Coming through.
Because he's atoning for missing the last few shows because of work. You don't have to atone for missing shows because of work, Tim.
Tim in LA is the absolute best, by the way.
Yes.
Deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore of robots.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think. Who else is on the Mount Rushmore of robots? I don't know, because there's a lot of people I think I could promise to be there.
If we named four, we'd be leaving people out, and yes. I would feel bad.
Yeah. But it's just like the Heisman Trophy. Yeah. You could be deserving. But, you know, maybe he didn't win it, right? Like, Michael Penix, certainly deserving in my mind to have won the Heisman Trophy. I more so than Bo Nix, but I think Bo Nix would have been a okay winner. Not as much as Michael Penix. But, hey, big ups to Jaden Daniels, USC's former in division rival, I guess.
My favorite thing about Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman is that we got to watch young Jaden Daniels, who was completely incapable of doing the highlight things that everyone knew he was capable of. And we would, every time USC would play him, it would just be like, man, this kid can really do it. And then
his teammates were happy he was transferring on video. Remember?
Yeah. Wild. And then he wins the Heisman. Deservedly so. I would have voted for him if I had a vote. If I was one of the, I feel left out not being the one of the million Heisman voters. If I had a Heisman vote, I would have voted for him. My order would have been Daniels, Penix, Blake Corum, and then Nix.
I find it fascinating, the whole Nix and Penix thing, because I think Penix, in my mind, far ahead away, like above Nix for me. I think Nix is a great quarterback. I feel bad in like my slander of Bo Nix comes across as like me saying that I don't think that he's good or anything. That's not the case. I just, in terms of like the wow Heisman moments, like Michael Penix, I thought was incredible this year. I do think it's funny that like if either one of them would have not existed, if Bo Nix was at Auburn this year, I think Penix wins the Heisman just based on how the geographics played out with the splitting of the votes far west. I think Penix ends up running away
were accusations of voters in the South who were leaving Penix off of their ballots entirely to rig the vote. So I don't know how real that is, but again, there's a million voters, so it's hard to keep track of how many dozens of them did that. Either way, my criteria, it would be not entirely, but in terms of a tiebreaker situation. If you took Nix, Penix, and Jane Daniels and Caleb Williams, and you shuffled around which teams that they were on, I think Nix, Daniels, and Penix are capable of getting their teams to the playoffs, regardless of which team they're on. They would at least mirror what the other quarterback did at those situations. I don't think Nix does at LSU what Daniels was able to keep them afloat, and I don't think Nix does with USC what Williams was able to keep USC afloat.
I think that's fair. So. I think that's fair.
Very roundabout way to say that Nix is a very good quarterback, but he's not in that tier of quarterback for me.
Yeah. Either way, I think all of them had fantastic seasons and well deserving of winning either way. Romerty says, I can't afford to be on the Mount Rushmore of Robot. That's not a part of it. We're not that big of sellouts.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
we appreciate anybody who has the means to help support the show financially. But honestly, if you don't have the means to support the show financially, that is not like Rama Murthy is in our chat every week. There are others who are in our chat every week who are extremely valuable to the show, and we appreciate every single one of you just for that. Like
Literally thousands of people who listen every week, and we're thankful. We're all
eternally grateful for that.
Yeah. But where we do sell out is to Sleeper.
This is true.
Yeah. And so SC fans, have you heard of Sleeper Daily Fantasy? Because Sleeper hosts daily fantasy prop games that you can compete for a chance to win big cash prizes. The game is simple. For each contest, you're given a pool of props for upcoming games across different sports. You pick whether each prop will be over or under the given total. You can choose up to 8 different props for a chance at a bigger win. And if you want to join in on that action, we got you covered. Sign up with our promo code FANSIDED2 today and receive a deposit match up to 100 big ones, 100 bucks, using the code FANSIDED2. When sign up, not only gives you the great reward, but it helps directly support this very podcast. Gives you the access to Mount Rushmore, basically, is what it's saying. So make sure to use the promo code FANSIDED2 when you sign up. The offer is only available to new customers who are 18 plus and physically present in valid states, including California. But of course, this helps promote the show and all that stuff. See the in episode description for more terms of the offer. LA Fred said that was a horrible transition. I don't know.
Yikes.
I don't know if that was horrible. It was maybe a little grasping at straws. I don't know. David Orange County says, I'm the Thomas Jefferson of the robot Mount Rushmore. OG, but highly questionable in modern times. First of all, aren't they all?
I mean.
Secondly, nobody's questioning you, Dave. You're cemented.
Dave,
100%.
Dave's definitely OG. One of can we do? Can it be like the seven? I think we should do seven wonders. The seven wonders of robots, and we can do like the seven wonders of the ancient world, where old man Dave in Orange County is on, and then there's like the seven wonders of the modern world, and the seven wonders of the natural world, and just put everybody in their own little seven wonders categories.
This is true. Speaking of which, we got to play the board game Seven Wonders. We got it. We just haven't played it yet.
We have it. Yeah. We just haven't
opened it. What are we doing? Anyways, speaking of Mount Rushmore famously in what state, Alicia?
Hold on. It's one of the Dakotas.
Well, that's all I needed.
Okay.
Because we're going to go back to the Dakotas, because we're going to North Dakota for the news, because USC has gone far north to far go. Let's go to the news.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's talk about USC's latest addition to the defensive coach staff, defensive coaching staff, if you want to call it, whatever the term is. USC has hired Matt Entz as linebackers coach. You're probably sitting there saying, who's Matt Entz? You should know him. He's the head coach of North Dakota State, the Bison. 60-10 as a head coach for the Bison. Currently, he's won 2 national championships as the head coach of the Bison. They are still in the FCS playoffs as we speak in the semis. I believe they play Montana this upcoming week. And if they get through the Grizz, they get to go to another championship to go win that down in Frisco, Texas, which I hope our friend Cameron, who's in Frisco and Cameron and his dad are going to go down to support Matt Entz.
New USC linebackers coach, yeah, Matt Entz.
They're on the Mount Rushmore, too.
Yeah.
This is an interesting get for SC. Not the first time the Trojans have gone out and got a defensive coach from North Dakota State. 11 years ago, SC went out in 2012 to get Scotty Hazleton. Do you remember Scotty Hazleton?
I remember Scotty Hazleton.
Yeah.
The corners or DBs? Safeties?
Linebackers. He was the DC for the Bison early on when Craig Bohl was the head coach of the Bisons. Way back at the beginning of their big dynasty. Craig Bohl is the head coach for North Dakota State until like 2014-ish. I can't remember exactly when. Mm-hmm. He goes on to Wyoming. He's still there at Wyoming. Chris Kleiman takes over. He goes to Kansas State. Matt Entz does not go to FBS to be a head coach. He goes to FBS to be a linebackers coach. And I think it's a bit interesting there because a couple of questions for you. First of all, A, your initial thoughts, but B, why, if you're Matt Entz, do you take the linebacker coach job at SC and not try to parlay this into a head coaching job like Bohl and Kleiman have? What is your rationale there, per se?
I think that, first and foremost, this is a home run hire. This is a national title winning FCS head coach who was a national title winning FCS defensive coordinator, who has been the insert position here coach of the year at just about every single stop that I can find for him. This is a home run hire for USC as a linebackers coach.
Mm-hmm.
Why take the linebackers coach job at USC instead of trying to get a DC job somewhere, trying to get a head coach job somewhere? I think it has to do with what kind of stepping stone you want to do. I think that you can look at people like Kleiman and Bohl and see that they maybe get stuck on a lower rung of the ladder, trying to sort of climb their way up from a sort of lower position, where you almost look at what assistant coaches at Georgia and at Alabama and the kind of opportunities that they get. I think you could argue that having success as a linebackers coach at USC, getting a more prominent defensive coordinator role somewhere in the near future, puts you in line for like heavy hitting jobs in a way that you couldn't necessarily do if you tried to take the leap to, I don't know, what were some of the open like positions this year in terms of head coaching? One of those sort of lower tier jobs. I can see the argument. Also, you get to come live in Los Angeles. Also, you get to come probably more than double your salary by coming over and taking an assistant head coach for the defense title.
Yeah.
They can probably throw in some other incentives in terms of housing and all of that kind of stuff to come out here. So it makes a lot of sense. And as Ryan just pointed out in the chat, he could be the next DC at USC if somebody like Anthony Lynn, who is Danton Lynn, is a rising star in the profession. Mm-hmm. I think that there's certainly a possibility that Danton Lynn does so well at USC that he gets picked up by NFL or a head coaching opportunity or something like that. And now suddenly someone like Matt Entz is in line to potentially get a defensive coordinator role at USC. Or,
yeah,
fascinatingly enough, let's say Lincoln Riley is somebody who gets linked to the NFL again in a year or two or three or whatever. Now suddenly you have an in as potentially the head coach at USC if enough chips fall your way. I just think there's a lot of different roads you can take. And the demotion from head coach to linebackers coach is certainly strange. But I can see the argument for doing it that way when you get to come live in Los Angeles and make, you know, $1 million a year and live that life. Which is an attractive life to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think the other thing is this is just my pea brain who doesn't follow FCS football on a weekly or yearly basis. I think there's been a little bit of catch up that has gone on the FCS level, particularly in the Dakotas of North Dakota State. Like, their dominance is not the same as it was before. I don't think they've taken a step back as much as everybody else has caught up. You look at North Dakota State this year. They had, three regular season losses to South Dakota, North Dakota, and South Dakota State. Like, all the Dakotas are really damn good. North Dakota moved up from D2. South Dakota State has been great. South Dakota has been great. Like, everyone is sort of caught up. All of those four schools are just dominant in the FCS. I think it makes sense to, this is maybe the right time, because if you want to parlay this, that job into something at the FBS level, if this was the opportunity, if you weren't going to be hired in this cycle as a head coach, I think this makes sense. I think it makes sense for Matt Entz. And like you said, it puts him in position. If there's a Cliff Kingsbury situation, if Danton Lynn gets, hired as the new defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals next week, maybe Matt Entz just is the defensive coordinator, right? If Lincoln Riley gets hit by a bus tomorrow, maybe he's the head coach. Like you said, not that those things are, I only mentioned that because Pat Hayden always talked about the bus theory, that you need to be prepared if anybody ever gets hit by a bus tomorrow. What are your options? What's your succession plan, right? I think Matt Entz helps with that. I think the interesting thing here is the title of, assistant head coach for the defense. I've seen a lot of people talking about this. Like, does that mean that Lynn reports to Entz, or does Entz report to Lynn? Don't worry about that stuff. That is strictly title for pay. This is like whatever job you have right now. There is somebody that's either you or somebody else that has the senior name of that same title, right? That's all this is. It's just for pay.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely a title that is associated with just pay grades and the like. USC on this year's staff, Roy Manning is the assistant head coach for defense. Brian Odom is the associate head coach for defense. I don't know the difference in terms of those two, which one is higher, which one is lower, which one means more money, which one, if they're literally the same thing, you just can't have both of them be the assistant. So you do one as associate, one as assistant. Whatever it is, it's all.
You just keep finding synonyms.
You can just keep making up sidekick titles.
Head coach for the defense.
Yeah. You just keep making up titles.
Collaborative coach for the defense.
I do think, bringing up Brian Odom, I do think this hire pretty much signals that Brian Odom is not going to be retained on the next staff. You don't hire a linebackers coach and an assistant head coach for defense and then bring back your current linebackers coach and associate head coach for defense. I just think the writing is on the wall there for Brian Odom. But you also have to wait for that kind of stuff to be official because – USC has a bowl game coming up. We assume that Brian Odom will be coaching that bowl game. We assume that that all of those other coaches that are on the staff are going to be coaching that. And that's why I think there's a lot of rumor mongering and a lot of jumping to conclusions about who will or won't be staying on staff and what the staff will look like and whether or not there will be holdovers from the previous staff and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't necessarily read into a lot because USC needs to keep those guys employed right now to do recruiting, to do coaching for the bowl game, to do all of those things. Once the bowl game is done, once signing day is over, I think that you can look at all of the tea leaves and not know one way or another which coaches will be there and which won't. But officially announcing the hire of a linebackers coach on December 10th does indicate to me that at least one of those coaches from the current staff is not coming back.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. Brenton in the chat says asked about Dante Williams as well. Yeah, all these are questions, and I think the timeline thing has been interesting too, because I think there's a lot of people who wanted, you know, everyone to get fired at the same time, and I understand why. We talked about it before that, like, yeah, I think realistically, the entire defensive staff probably should be changed. If nothing else, it should be given to, like the question should be at least asked to Danton Lynn what he wants, right? Like, he deserves a say in how the staffing of the defense goes. But I think that there's the other part of, like, you need those guys for recruiting. You need those guys for the bowl prep. Like, the timing is weird. And part of it is, and this is what's wrong with the stupid early signing day. Like, it would be so much more beneficial to, I think, to coaches. It would be beneficial to players, to everybody involved. If signing day was back in February and there was a time for everyone to solidify their coaching staff and then go out and be able to recruit after the dead period lifted in the middle of January again. Like, if we just got back to how it was, I think everything would make more sense.
I honestly hate the early signing period. It's terrible. It sucks. I think that there are, like, with someone like Dante Williams, he's still out there getting tagged by recruits. He's still out there apparently being involved in offers and visits and all that kind of stuff. So he's still doing recruiting. Roy Manning is also very out front, in terms of recruiting. I think if there were two coaches that I could see potentially getting retained, it would be them personally. I would not bring back Dante Williams, personally, because along the same lines of my feelings around, like, Andy Enfield right now, I think that you can do all the recruiting in the world, but if you can't coach up those guys, then there's diminishing returns there personally.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, Danton Lynn gets to make that decision to me. Lincoln Riley and Danton Lynn together get to make that decision. And I will, you know, go along with what they say. So particularly if Danton Lynn decides to keep any of the current coaches, this is a guy who inherited a staff that was not his own at UCLA last year. And he got a hell of a lot more out of that staff and those players than they did the year before.
Ken Norton Jr. Is over on that UCLA staff. I would imagine, I haven't paid attention, so if I'm talking out of turn here, correct me, but I would imagine that's the easy move for UCLA, is just to make Ken Norton Jr. the DC.
Well, did you see today that Chip Kelly said he hasn't started looking for a new defensive coordinator?
Well, Dan Lynn wasn't named until like February 20 something last year.
Chip Kelly is,
mind you, that was the whole situation was weird because Bill McGovern passed away. I give the timeline was obviously awkward last time, but still, like, I think UCLA has the luxury of having more time because their spring bowl doesn't start until beginning of April or whatever, because they're on the quarter system or whatever weird stuff that they do, right? Like,
right. But you
still need somebody for recruiting and all those that stuff. But, you know,
you
Chip doesn't value those things.
Yes. Well, and that's why Chip is in the position he's in.
Right.
The thing about, like, USC adding Danton Lynn and being able to have a voice who's leading the charge of reinvigorating recruiting on the defensive side, knowing that there's a path forward on the defensive side, like, that matters. Letting that linger for that long, like, you're not going to strike gold. The chances that you strike gold again with making a hire that mirrors Danton Lynn in that context in terms of the timing of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like you said, the context around it, there was a reason that the timing was what it was. But the fact is that if you're making a hire at that time, your chances of it turning out well are extremely low.
Right.
I don't know. So whatever they're doing. And the chances are that the assistants that are currently on the staff might see the writing on the wall and say, like, hey, maybe I just need to go out and get somewhere where I feel a little bit more certain about my standing in the world and go pick up a job while they're available, which for assistants, they come available in late December and early January. So I don't know. That's sort of all part of it. I don't want to let it go past, though, that we got a super chat from Alex.
Yeah.
Good old Alex, another person who deserves to be on the
absolutely on the Mount Wonders Rushmore.
Yeah. Mount Rushmore, Seven Wonders of the World, whatever we're doing for Rob Buds. Appreciate you, Alex.
Oh, I was gonna make another analogy there, but it doesn't work. I just remember that, you know, UCLA fans called the Coliseum the Mausoleum, which is weird. They're like, well, what's something in a wall that has a bunch of plaques? Literally a mausoleum, but like that doesn't.
Yeah.
We don't want to kill off the Rod Pots.
No, definitely not a mausoleum. A mural? A tapestry?
A wall of fame. A Rod Pot wall of fame.
Wall of fame.
There we go. That works. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Other news to discuss here. On defense, I want to jump ahead in our little rundown here a little bit. Talk about SC getting a commitment from transfer portal pickup, Nate Clifton, defensive lineman, 6'5", 280. One single year of eligibility left, comes from Vandy, the Commodores. 37 starts at Vandy, was the team captain in 2023. 30 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks. He led the Commodores with that and a pick in 2023. He can play all over. I think our friends over at USCFootball.com quoted a like Dogman article that said that because Washington was in on him too, that he can basically play every position along the defensive line, which I think is helpful when we know that A, defenses want to be multiple, including what Danton Lynn is probably going to want to do, but B, SC has multiple spots that need bodies, right? Like you expect Bear Alexander to be one of those guys who is lining up on the Sunday before Labor Day against LSU, but who else is going to be on that defensive line? Nate Clifton could be one of those dudes at any of those spots.
Yeah, and like you said, being able to line up at defensive end, at three technique, inside the tackle, outside the tackle, when you're going to be running a defense that we expect to have multiple fronts, as most defenses these days do, that is extremely valuable to be able to have somebody who can move inside and out depending on the context. And this is very clearly a super experienced guy. He's got good size for the end position. Productive guy in the SEC, which is always, obviously Vandy is a difficult program in the SEC, but that's still some good production from him in that conference. So yeah, really, really strong start for USC. I think the big thing that most USC fans want right now, right, is just some beef up front.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see the signs already that USC is adding guys on the defensive line that they're clearly targeting that position. We've seen offers go out to defensive linemen all over the place. You bring in the commitment of a veteran leader, productive defensive lineman. That's big. They on the recruiting trail right now, there's the former Minnesota commit who literally just committed like 5 minutes before we started decommitted from Minnesota 5 minutes before we started recording. GD Abasiri decommits from Minnesota, is heavily tapped to look at USC as a potential landing spot on the defensive line. So USC is definitely doing work up front. And whether that is Sean Nua putting in the work to get these defensive linemen in, or the promise of Danton Lynn and what he was able to achieve defensively with guys like Leatu-Latu and the UCLA defensive front, whatever forces are at work there, they seem to be coming along rather nicely, and exactly the kinds of moves that you want to see USC doing. But this has to be just a start. Nate Clifton has to be a start in terms of picking up guys for the defensive line to get that unit ready for 2024.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. The skeptic in me says, well, a year ago, SD got a bunch of dudes on the defensive line, and they didn't all get a lot of, all of them didn't produce a lot of stuff, right? Like they're Jack Sullivan's, et cetera. SC, you can say that SC didn't develop them further, didn't put them in a part to succeed, maybe didn't, get the guy that fit. Whatever the argument is, whatever the reason is, SC got a lot of guys, prioritized defensive line last year, and they didn't improve on that. But I think that's not a reason not to do it again. SC absolutely needs to do it again. They absolutely need to prioritize the defense. And I think that when you go out and get someone like Nate Clifton, who is a four-star transfer portal which I think is a, considering that he only has 1 year of eligibility, I think that shows off the value of him as a player, because we know that the transfer portal rankings are sort of eligibility, and the amount of years that you have left affects a lot of your ranking there. And so for him to have just 1 year and still be ranked that high, I think shows how good of an impact player he can be. Mm-hmm. But we talked about it last week that Lincoln Riley has said a lot of the right things recently about the defense and prioritizing the defense and all of those things about wanting to get bigger and faster and where defense is going to be our top priority, et cetera, all these things. But it was going to be about the actions, right? And judge him on the actions, not just the words. And I think so far in the last couple of weeks, I think we are literally seeing Lincoln Riley at least backing it up, by backing up the words, by prioritizing defense as it is right now. We still need to see how that pans out, but I think that this is a good first step in being able to put together the rebuild of this defense and being able to turn the page on what was a disastrous first 2 years in the Lincoln Riley era for the defensive side of the ball. Like, this is not just getting Nate Clifton, but I think that the combination of Lynn and Entz and all of that, I think things are in the right direction for what they need to be. You still obviously need to, you know, this is one of those things where you won't get proven until 9 months from now, but this is the start, right?
Yeah, but that's, we won't know the results of any of these, additions, of any of these philosophical changes or emphases until we see them on the field. And I think that was one of the conversations that we had a lot at the end of last year about, well, okay, if you're going to keep Alex Grinch, you got to do the things that that hopefully put you in position for that to pay off. And they did add a lot of the personnel that we felt good about to have that pay off. And then obviously it didn't. So what it comes down to is needing to either have faith in or adopt a wait and see mentality or whatever mentality that you're going to do,
right,
to sort of go into next year and see how it all works out. We can't know. And this is one of the tricky things about the transfer portal that we have also talked about a lot, is that, you know, at best you're still hoping for a 50% hit rate on any of these guys. And that's why it's important that you start adding as many of these guys as possible. But I guess the hope is that somebody like Danton Lynn, people like Matt Entz and the like are able to bring in the players that they're bringing in and then also get more out of them. I will continue to maintain that the personnel that USC had on defense, there are certainly some guys out there who I felt were not of a USC caliber, USC level, playing for USC this year, but not all 11 that were on the field at any given moment. Certainly not all 11. That defense was worse than the sum of its parts. And what I need to see is USC to take the new coaching staff, the new defensive coaching staff, to find a way to get more out of a lot of the same players and more out of the same kinds of transfers that USC brought in last year that clearly didn't work out.
Yeah. 100%. So yeah, let's get into the other news to talk about on the transfer portal. Quarterback. We got a question over in the chats from Mark. Are they scouting a transfer portal quarterback and throwing Miller Moss under the bus? I wouldn't quantify it as throwing him under the bus per se. We know that we talked about last week that there was the report about USC pursuing Will Howard. Cam Ward has been a guy that has been out there, but Will Howard and Cam Ward are both highly touted dudes that are being pursued by everyone in America who needs a quarterback at the moment. Dylan Gabriel has gone from Oklahoma to Oregon. Brock Vandegrift has gone from Georgia to Kentucky. So yeah, I think SC is thoroughly in the Will Howard and Cam Ward mix, but you have to be able to get one of those guys first and foremost. And secondly, I think Miller Moss knows the situation. Like I was really impressed with how he talked about, I want to say, was it the first game of the year? I was listening to the rushing home to record the CarCast, and I was listening to the wrap-up show, and Peter Arbogast was interviewing Miller Moss, and he was asked, like, point blank by Peter Arbogast, like, why did you not transfer? Because in this day and age, quarterbacks transfer once you don't win the job. You didn't have the job because Caleb Williams was here. Why didn't you transfer? And I thought his answer was like, basically, I'm a USC guy. Like, this is where I want to be. Like, there's nowhere else I would want to go. Like, SC puts a lot of quarterbacks into the league. The power of the USC degree, all these other things where he was answering the question to, you know, and maybe that's the easy answer because he's just saying all the right things. But either way, I think that if it was truly throwing Miller Moss under the bus and Miller Moss felt that way, I think he would have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah. I also think this is the business of college football at this point. This is the business of the transfer portal. And honestly, it would be malpractice for USC not to be involved in all of the top quarterbacks that are out there in the portal this year. It would be a failure to put the program in position to succeed if USC said, fine, we're just going to stick with Miller Moss and be okay with that. I don't think you can have that mentality. And if that means losing Miller Moss, then you live with it because you have to, number one, stock up your quarterback room. USC will have two scholarship quarterbacks next year unless they add an additional one or one or two, and they need to add an additional one or two because it doesn't look like they're going to bring in any freshmen in high school recruiting. And the quarterbacks that are on the roster should understand what that means. If you bring in someone like Will Howard, if you bring in someone like Cam Ward, that doesn't automatically mean that you are not going to start. Miller Moss has a leg up on all of those guys if he's going to bet on himself. He gets to play in the bowl game and set the tone. He already is a respected leader in that locker room for USC. And whoever comes in as a quarterback to compete this spring and in fall camp will have to compete against a Miller Moss that has been tutored by Lincoln Riley for the last 2 years. And that is something that could potentially be a difference maker for him. So no, I don't think that Miller Moss can treat it as a slight that USC is looking at these other quarterbacks. If he did and he left, then that would be on him because Lincoln Riley cannot afford to not be scouting these other quarterbacks and not be offering these other quarterbacks to come in and see the best possible competition that they can put together for that room. And we have seen that from Lincoln Riley in the past, where he has added transfer quarterbacks and there's been competition and you have to go out and win it.
The flip side is, if SC goes out and gets somebody and Miller Moss then decides to transfer, well, that's the risk you take. Like that's the reality of what, you know, what it is with the transfer portal and quarterbacks right now. We did get another super chat from Alex. Hey. Thank you. That says, we don't know how Miller Moss practices and Lincoln Riley is the quarterback guru. As a fan though, I want Miller to start at USC next year. Yeah. I think that the important thing here is we can be skeptical of Lincoln Riley in a million different aspects. You can be skeptical of his play calling, skeptical of his 2-point conversion decisions, skeptical of whether or not he prioritizes defense or whatever. The one area where I do not think that you are in good faith having skepticism is at quarterback. He has proven that he knows what he's talking about with quarterbacks. And he knows what he's doing, and whether or not that's somebody on the roster or him going out and get a transfer portal guy, it's worked out for him every single time. I feel like I say this every single week, even Spencer Rattler had a 172.3 quarterback rating in 2019 or whatever, or 2020, whatever it was. Like, that would be a school record at USC. Literally a school record at USC. He won his last 15 starts or 13 starts, whatever the number was. Like, there, he won games with Spencer Rattler. So, like, don't even let an Oklahoma fan tell you that, like, well, you can end up with your Spencer Rattler. Well, okay, fine. Then go win the 13 games with Spencer Rattler then, you know? Like, yeah, Lincoln Riley, I think, deserves all the benefit of the doubt on the quarterback decision. If he's going to put his faith in Miller Moss, then that means that he has signed off on Miller Moss. If he is going to roll the dice on Will Howard, then that means that he has signed off on the idea that that is the best decision. And I think that, like, that's the area, that's the niche where you trust what Lincoln Riley is telling you 1,000%. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Personally, if it was me, I think I would take Cam Ward over Will Howard, but I'm not Lincoln Riley, right? Like, I will defer. I will defer that decision making. You know what I mean?
That's exactly where I'm at. Whatever quarterback Lincoln Riley wants, whatever quarterback he wants to put his faith in, mm-hmm. I am on board. If it's Miller Moss, then really good on Miller Moss for developing over these 2 years and putting himself in that position. If it's Will Howard, saddle up. It's if Cam Ward, saddle up. If it's somebody else, I don't know. Saddle up.
Yeah.
It's Malachi Nelson, saddle up.
That's essentially how it all comes down. Other addition that USC got on the transfer portal was long snapper Hank Pepper. Great name. Oh, fantastic name. Long snapper Hank Pepper from Michigan State. 6'2", 200, started 18 games for Michigan State. And this is probably the only time we'll ever talk about a long snapper on the show.
Hopefully. You never want to talk about long snappers. You want to talk about long snappers twice. One, when they get recruited. And two,
when they leave.
When they leave.
Yeah.
And if that's a perfect long snapper career. So
yeah,
we will see. It's a...
And that's not even offensive to a long snapper. I think a long snapper...
They don't want to be mentioned at all. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. All right. Other news to discuss: departures. Michael Jackson III and Dejon Benton, both gone. Michael Jackson III, not a surprise. One in the category of the Kyle Ford transfer from a year ago. In that, this is a bummer. I think that you watch Michael Jackson III, particularly last year and the year before, and you're like, God, there's so many instances where this dude is so good. Like, if he just had more of an opportunity, how good could he be, right? And yet he hasn't done more at SC. Is that because there's guys ahead of him? Is it because there is not more of an opportunity for him? Is it because there is not the coaching staff doesn't believe more in him? I don't know. Either way, more power to him to be able to go find somewhere that, you know, lets him fulfill the potential that I think that we all sort of see in him, right?
Yeah. I think that you said that perfectly in terms of it's a bummer. Comparing it to Kyle Ford is definitely where I'm at. On more than one level, I think that Michael Jackson III will go somewhere and be fine. But I don't know that he is somebody who USC can't replace. And I say that with all due respect. I love Michael Jackson III. His contributions have been wonderful. And I really wish he would stick around and see what he could do with a little bit more of a featured role. But at the same time, it's hard to promise these guys featured roles when Zachariah Branch is going to be your featured guy. Deuce Robinson is going to be your featured guy.
Right.
There's going to be guys coming through that you want to continue to see more from. So it's tough. It's tough, but this is the nature of the transfer portal. It gives and it takes away.
Yeah, 100%. That's how it works. It is multidimensional. Yeah. Deshaun Benton is a guy I think that I've always kind of liked what he can potentially do on the defensive line, but it's been like 4 years now. You can't keep talking about potentially this long, right? So
yeah,
if he's not given the opportunity, or if he's not won the opportunity, then probably best for everybody involved for him to be able to find a spot where he can, you know, realize that reality. So
yeah,
good luck to him. We'll see what happens there. A couple offers out there that we've seen bantied about online. USC going out for another USC running back. South Carolina running back Mario Anderson. Could South Carolina be, could USC Junior be just a pipeline to the other USC, this USC, as the running back supply line? 5'9", 208 pounds, a year of eligibility left, 707 yards and 3 TDs this past season for the Cocks.
Yeah, and he just put out a top four with USC, Oklahoma, Memphis, and Cal as his options for transferring. And considering how well it turned out for Marshawn Lloyd, I think, yeah, sure. Let's ride with Mario Anderson. That sounds just about right to me. I think it's running back is one of the positions that I think is most easily filled in the transfer portal. And one of the positions that I think that USC, we've seen multiple offers go out for USC. They're going to need to add a guy or two there at that position to account for Lloyd leaving for the NFL, Austin Jones being out of eligibility. And as much as I want to see guys like Quentin Joyner and Amaron Peterson rise up into more featured roles, you also got to take your chances with a veteran guy or two if you can get them. Jeff Rodriguez in the chat says, get Jade Knott. Yeah, I would take Jade Knott in a heartbeat, but you gotta get who you can get. So
right.
It's clear that USC is in the market. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Last little news nugget. Zachariah Branch, welcome to the USC All-American Wall. First-teamer All-American returner by USA Today and Pro Football Focus as a return man. USC's 176th All-American and the first true freshman to ever do it.
Yeah, pretty wild. Pretty wild for Zachariah Branch to get that honor as a kick returner. Obviously, we all saw how electric he was as a return man, so sort of not surprising to see him get that kind of nod. But it's a little like there was a long time where freshmen didn't play, so they weren't really eligible for All-American honors.
Right. Not until this is unfortunate, but really not until the Marshall disaster.
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, that was now a while ago now, but
I know, but like that's what allowed freshmen to play.
Yeah. But it's still a bit wild that like this is the first true freshman at USC to get All-American status when you think about the true freshman seasons that USC has had between guys like Adoree Jackson and Marquise Lee had a Didn't Mark Easley have a, no, was it Robert Woods had a crazy productive true freshman season?
Robert Woods was good as a true freshman, but I think he was a freshman All-American of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there've been a million freshman All-Americans. It's just wild that it's the first true freshman on to get the All-American nod straight away. So good on him. Well-deserved. And, yeah. And honestly, I think that with that in tow, there's no reason why Zachariah Branch, given the immense talent that he has, knock on all the wood, if he's healthy, that he couldn't join USC's history of three-time All-Americans at this point.
Off the top of your head, can you name him?
Taylor Mays.
There's three. That's one.
Matt Khalil?
Nope.
No, Ryan. No.
No Ryan.
No. There's an offensive lineman, isn't there?
There is an offensive lineman, yes.
That's why I thought Matt Khalil.
Famous dad. Famous powerful dad. Important dad. Sam Baker.
That's who I was thinking of. And then Robert Batman Woods.
Wood, yes. Yeah, and we've already talked about it. If freshman,
who, by the way,
play,
if Robert Batman Wood, if he had been able to play as a freshman, he would have been a four-time All-American.
I think that there's a very good argument for that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to the mailbag, shall we?
You've got mail.
Start with an email we got from Tony, Denora, PA. Alicia, Michael, this is Tony from Denora, PA. It looks like Lincoln and Danton aren't messing around. I know Matt Entz from North Dakota State as a head coach, but from all I'm hearing, this is a great hire as a position coach. The process is starting to roll to a much better defense. I'm a Sixers fan, so I know all about the processes. Hopefully, this won't take as long as my Sixers are taking with theirs. Fight on, Tony and Denora, PA.
Yeah, we definitely don't want USC to go through the process that the 76ers have gone to. Although, trust the process is in a when you boil it down, I'm on board with that kind of thinking. This is a process that USC is going to have to build back up from to be up there with the dominant programs that contend every year for national titles, but doing something like picking up Matt Entz is definitely a step in the right direction. That's a huge move. That is a USC throwing its weight around kind of move. And one thing that I didn't mention about the Matt Entz move that I really like is that once USC identified, Matt Entz could have been a DC candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, Matt Entz could have been a DC candidate.
Yeah.
So
I didn't look it up, but I'm vaguely curious where he would have done on our criteria
on our chart.
Board. Yeah.
Yeah. He would have been a really interesting hire as a DC. You sort of take away some of the risk factor by bringing him as a linebackers coach and just sort of get all of the advantages of he has head coaching experience and long-term DC experience and has been successful at every level. I mean, has been super successful at the FCS level, but can he move it up to the FBS? Because then you pair his veteran experience with Danton Lynn's obvious, you know, 1 year production achievement, and you get a really nice middle ground there. But mm-hmm. The thing that I like here is that this isn't a Rolodex hire. There is no meaningful connection that I can find between Matt Entz and anybody at USC. This is not pick up the phone and call your buddy
right.
and see if you can convince him to leave a head coaching position to come to USC. No, this is cold call a sitting national title winning FCS head coach
mm-hmm.
and find out if he's willing to come up to the FBS level and improve his climb up the ladder by taking a linebackers coach position. Like that's bold.
I would say that I think you can make an argument. Again, this is just my 60,000 foot view far away. That's, you can make the argument that maybe as a head coach, Matt Entz isn't, doesn't have the same resume as Craig Bohl and Chris Kleiman, but A, you didn't hire him to be a head coach, so don't worry about that part. But B, I think the other thing that you, that I think is important looking here, like, just being a winner and being a good coach, I think is so much of the battle. Like that is so much of the, like the, it's not the level doesn't matter. The level obviously matters, but like the FCS level, like those programs, there's some overlay, right? Like if, where do you think that those four Dakota schools that, and even the Montana schools, and you put those in the FBS, are they not like very competitive in, at the top end of the Mountain West?
We've seen the top end FCS schools that have made the transition to FBS have been competitive right away.
Absolutely.
Immediately. Like, so why? Yeah.
You're going to tell me that like, If those six schools, the Montana schools and the four Dakotas, were in the Mountain West, you're going to tell me that one of them couldn't win it like pretty soon? I think they could. Absolutely, I think they could. Like, and in part because they're all well coached, right? Like, and you look at the guys who have coached at lower levels, and how many of them translate? Like Lance Leopold, Chris Kleiman, literally Kalen DeBoer.
But
right?
A lot of those guys, and I think this is one of the things that I continue to want to stress for USC fans to understand, that Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think a lot of those guys, one of the things that you see from those top tier programs, the ones that win titles every year and are competitive every year in their playoff system, a lot of those coaches, those FCS coaches, are there for a long time.
Yeah.
They are there for 5+ years, 10 years, building programs, building philosophies and cultures and all of those things that are then in place. Mm-hmm. And that helps you have a platform upon which your program can thrive. And, that helps. It really does help to have that foundational thing and time to sort of to put your mark on a program and have everybody involved in that program know exactly what direction you're rowing in and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I think that right. Absolutely matters. I just think those programs that they might be FCS programs, but like they play football. Mm-hmm. They have to win football games against teams that are, don't have the same level of talent available to them. They have to win on,
but they all have equal.
They all have equal,
relatively equal opportunities to the talent that they have. And Sagar in the chat points out that Jim Tressel's sort of the king of that. Like, won titles at Youngstown right before he went to Ohio State. So,
Alex in the chat also points out that someone at like Entz needs. You know, he said that he needs to come up to FBS level so he can learn the ins and outs of NIL and of FBS level recruiting, which is certainly definitely, I would say that's the biggest barrier between an FCS coach and an FBS coach. But for the purposes of a linebacker coach, USC is hiring him. This is almost like a work study program. USC is hiring him to do a thing that he's very good at, which is coach football. And in return, he is getting to learn the peripheral things, which is how to recruit at the top level, how to navigate NIL at the top level, and all those things to build his skill level to go ahead and make himself available to be an FBS level college football head coach. Like that, this is a match made in heaven in that sense. It's beautiful because what USC needs him to do is coach up the linebackers to develop them to be the best they can possibly be, and to also lend his expertise, his experience to a young defensive coordinator like Danton Lynn to be a rock for him. Like it just, every element of this hire is to me aces.
Yeah. 100%. I did want to pull up the, our little, criteria chart. We're going to run through this just off the top of our head here. Top 25 defense experience. How do we?
Well, he was top 25 in FCS. So like he was the defensive coordinator
that counts, right?
Yeah, they had defenses that were holding teams under 15 points, I want to say, every year. So
in demand, this is difficult to say, because I think the answer would be yes. Mind you, this is looking at Entz as a defensive coordinator, but I would say yes, because we've seen Craig Bull go from North Dakota State to Wyoming. We saw Chris Kleiman go from North Dakota State to Kansas State, right? Like, I would say yes, that there is a demand there. Known talent developer, without being able to just name off Bison defenders, he's won Coach of the Year awards. So
Jabril Cox is the LSU transfer in 2020, who was outstanding when he went from FCS level to FBS level. There's a handful of guys who have made it into the NFL on the defensive side who played under Matt Entz. There's a bunch of like offensive linemen, and obviously Trey Lance, which, mm-hmm. you know, he was the head coach, so he had a hand in developing those guys, but obviously maybe not from the technical perspective, wasn't in there in the trenches with them. But still, I mean, North Dakota State developed players on both sides of the ball for sure.
Yeah. Successful track record. Yes. Clean background. No word on if he's tied to the Fargo syndicate. there's a Fargo reference for you, I guess. But okay. So you give him 15 points there. 25 points. Cause I can't math 25 points. It's not 3 points, 5 points for each of the things in the first column. Previous DC experience, yes. Ace recruiter, no. Power five experience, no. Success at multiple stops. Success at multiple stops, it's...
I would say for the spirit of this, we would say no, because he's been successful as an assistant, not as a defensive coordinator. He was a defensive coordinator
at Northern Iowa.
That's right. So
and
maybe,
at Western Illinois.
Maybe you give him that.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's
that's
hard with the FCS stuff.
Yeah. So that's 6 more points. So that's 31 points there. Danton Lynn, by the way, had 33 on this thing. Won championships. Yes. 32 points. Big 10 experience. No. USC. Elite coaching tree. I would say yes.
Because he's from the North Dakota State one.
So that's 33. Yeah. 33 point. I guess you could say high scoring offense.
Sort of a 33 with an asterisk, because a lot of this
basically
comes in the FCS, and it's just harder to tell.
Long story short, I think that looking at this and how this compares puts him on the same level as Danton Lynn, just about.
They're
in
very
different ways.
In extremely
very
different ways. Yeah, it's a totally different
situation.
Part of the spectrum in terms of where they're coming from. And I love pairing them together on one staff. I love it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
The only, honestly, the only question mark I have about this hire is, will Matt Entz, who has been a defensive coordinator and a head coach for the last decade, will he defer to a 34-year-old defensive coordinator who is now his boss? Will he do well taking that step down in terms of being having the ultimate say in what goes on? That's the only way that I think this goes wrong.
Yeah. And I there's no sign of that's just basic professionalism, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Like, 100. I wouldn't. I'm not predicting that will be an issue. I think that should not be an issue.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's go through questions we've got here in the chat. Jack says, "Sorry if I missed this, but did you announce the over/under winners?" I'm reading the tea leaves here. I think this is Jay Vandy asking this, by the way. And Jay Vandy has reason to ask. Let's look at I literally, while we were doing this episode, I've been tabulating all the stuff.
We did say we would get back to it.
Yes. We, a little inside, or future, podcast stuff. We're going to do our Holiday Bowl preview next Monday, the 18th. I know that that's 9 days ahead of the Holiday Bowl, but we want to talk about signing day on the 20th, which is next Wednesday. And then the following Monday is Christmas Day. We're not going to do an episode on Christmas Day. So, the Holiday Bowl preview will be next Monday, the 18th. So we'll talk about the over under for the Holiday Bowl in that episode. And per the usual tradition, bowl game over under is worth double. So this will be huge. As it stands right now, here's the top 10. In ninth place, we have a three-way tie with a 42-30 record between Scott Cox, Stephen Schad, and Pickle. In fourth place, we have a five-way tie with a 43-29 record between Britt from Irvine, Matt and Rancho, Ocean Beach Trojans, The Awesome Tier, and Trevor M. All tied with 43 over-under wins. In third place, by himself, Jay Bandy. 44-28. One spot ahead of all those entries tied in fourth place with 43. Second place with 47, so three points ahead of Jay Vandy is GPAT, 47-25. And in first place, currently, as it stands right now, Vince in South Dakota, 48-24, one spot ahead of GPAT.
There you go. It's the South Dakota. It's a Dakota themed episode.
Yeah. San Diego, but
I know, but yeah. It's SD. That's an inside joke for listeners of every week of the show.
Yeah. Southern Detroit. Yeah. South Damascus. Yeah,
San Dimas.
Yeah. Any of those things. So it's going to get close. It's going to get close and rumpy pumpy, as our friends over the What's Brewin show would say.
Sounds rumpy pumpy.
Yeah. All right. Other question we got from Hokey P, a.k.a. Top Trojan fan. Absolutely someone who belongs to be on that Mount Rushmore on the Seven Wonders, whatever it is. One of our OGist?
Yes, OGist.
Listeners of all time, Top Trojan fan. He says, which defensive position group has the most notable turnaround next year, do you think?
Can I say just defensive backs in general?
Okay.
I think maybe. Yeah. Defensive backs.
I'm going to say linebackers.
That would be lovely.
I think the linebackers have the most to gain.
You could name any of the position groups on defense, and I would say that would be lovely.
Because part of my concern about the secondary is like, how much of their issue was just them not being put in a position to succeed?
That's where I feel. Like, I honestly feel that USC had plenty of talent in the secondary. It's that the scheme was not built to put them in position to succeed. And I think I think Dantlin will do a better job of that.
I'm gonna say linebackers just because they can't get worse every year. But we literally said that about last year's defense and they did. So
I've said that every year for the last 10 years about the linebackers. And they do.
Eric says, were you guys able to watch the Matt Entz press conference thing? No, I didn't see that.
No, I saw a really great clip of him talking about how to defend tempo that I would recommend to people. And I've seen some quotes from that press conference, which is where he talked about how he had been told that the FCS experience he was lacking, the NIL and recruiting experience. And that was sort of the barrier to him getting jobs, moving up in the world.
Do we think that that barrier exists now that didn't for climbing then?
I think so. Yes. I think in the current day and age, being able to navigate NIL, transfer portal, and FBS, I think recruiting might have been a singular thing that might have been a concern between FCS and FBS. Mm-hmm. But it's even greater now because there's so many other factors that go into it.
It probably also helps that Klieman and Bull went to places that weren't going to necessarily recruit at a high level anyways.
Wouldn't be high
powered. Wyoming and K-State.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I would say that in terms of sheer talent level, I don't know that there's a big difference in terms of the type of guys you're recruiting that is different at Wyoming and K-State than you're recruiting as a FCS superpower.
Yeah.
Whereas if you want to, yeah. So you go to SC and you're, it's a different level of talent, right? But that doesn't mean that you still, you know, you got to get development out of them, which is what SC has not been able to do. So yeah. SJ says, how many points will SC have to put up in the Holiday Bowl for you to say the offense will be fine under Miller Moss? I think that's a very interesting question. What would impress you with the offense?
If they put up 40 plus, I would feel pretty good about that given the circumstances around that game.
An answer.
Your answer is going to be what I'm about to say right now, I think, which is that it's less about the points and more about the eye test. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more about how the offense flows, about whether or not he can make the throws.
Yeah.
How much he's able to handle an offensive line that I don't necessarily expect to be super great.
Right. If you score 60 points and it's primarily on bubble screens to Zachariah Branch, I think that's a little different than 28 points where there were four fantastic 80-yard drives that were impressive, and he showed command of the offense the entire way too. Like I think that there's a mixture of both. I want to see that the offense can be very productive, but I also want to see that he has control of the offense and is able to play a part in the production too. That it's not just him relying on the playmakers around him. At the same time, this is an offense that should be putting the quarterback in position to not have to be a Superman, theoretically, schematically. But we've seen that that hasn't necessarily been the case because the offensive line hasn't been super strong. We know that the offensive line should be more healthy in the Holiday Bowl than they have been the last couple of weeks, especially the UCLA game, which there was an injury in that game. So maybe that helps a little bit. The offensive line was better as the season went on, surely, after the changes after the Notre Dame game. But I don't know. If they score 40 points, I think that would look good. But like, what does that 40 points look like? I think is the question for sure. Tim says, anyone going to San Diego for the game? We thought about it. I think the most intriguing thing for us is that it's at Petco. Mm-hmm. That to me makes it interesting, but like, I don't want to spoil the preview, but I'm not sure there's a lot of optimism over here on the SC side of things. Chad says, so is it Danton or DeAnton? Lynn, I've heard both the last several days. Alicia, I had seen on YouTube few weeks ago that it was Danton.
Well,
you went up and looked up the UCLA pronunciation guide.
The UCLA pronunciation guide says Danton.
Yeah.
D-A-N-T-T-U-H-N. Danton.
Yeah.
Danton. Danton. Yeah.
So picture the yogurt and just add a T in the middle.
Yep.
Danton.
Danton.
Yeah. Or like what's that basketball team that plays the in Ohio, the Flyers?
Dayton.
But make it Danton.
Danton.
Yeah.
Danton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim says, okay, what's up with Caleb's looming NFL decision? Is it actually possible that he's not cut and dry as he's gone? Tim?
He's gone.
Tim, we love your enthusiasm, your support, your all of those things with the podcast and your enthusiasm about USC football in general. I just want to give you a little heads up. He's not coming back. And I understand the ability to buy in and to want to buy in and to hope. And I was the kid in 2005, 2006 being telling my friends, well, you know, like Reggie could come back. Like maybe he doesn't want to play for the Houston Texans. He could come back. Or actually, you know what? Maybe Lendale will come back because Reggie's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've all been there, right? I remember my writing 240 class, by the way. We had to do a oral report mm-hmm. thing, and my oral report was why Matt Barkley should return as quarterback. I didn't believe any of it, by the way.
But you did it.
And then I did it, and then it happened. So I think the key to this is make an oral report about it, and then maybe it could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. It could happen. As JB would say.
Yep.
It could happen. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode. We will be back later this week with a members-only show, because we guys owe you one of those. And then next Monday, the 18th, will be our Holiday Bowl preview episode, USC and Louisville. So get ready to say Louisville a lot of times. Don't use your lips. Don't use your mouth. Louisville, Louisville, Louisville. Like, what's the word? No, what's the people with the puppets?
Ventriloquist?
Yes. Louisville. That's how you say Louisville, you know? I'm losing it. Okay. All right. We'll be back then, and then signing day next week too. So Tim says he knows he's not coming. I just wonder why he has to announce it. I don't know. I wonder if there's like a special announcement.
He waited until literally the last day to enroll at USC to make his transfer decisions.
Maybe there's like a special like announcement production. I don't know.
He just goes by his own pace.
I don't know. I feel bad for Irvine Cat Orange because say that I just got here and here we are leaving. Sorry. We'll be back next time, next week. And then if you remember later on this week. So until then, we will see you. See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.